gentlemen.
Well, Cheery, good morning. Thanks for being here. I am paralyzed with indecision. So I need your help. Which one would you advise? Which one looks the freshest to you? Now I'm confused. Maybe you people have just heard me speak too many times and you know how dry I am. Well, where to begin? Look at you all. Do you have good friends? Yeah, some intimate friends who will share things with you? I have a few. There's nothing like a friend who will come up to you and say, "Man, you look terrible." I've had a few of those lately. I've had at least three people in the last 6 months say, "You have gotten really gray. Thank you for that. That looks great." And people say, "I hear you're really busy." Well, yeah, that would be true too. There probably a lot of you suffer from being busy, right? Yeah, okay. And you know, when we get busy, whether it's with legitimate or not so legitimate things, we don't reflect very much on ourselves. We're just too busy to think about what's going on inside of us. And so this morning, we're going to take a break. And we're going to reflect a little bit. We're going to think about ourselves just a little bit. Some of you haven't done that for a very long time. So this is your moment. For me, it helps me to be in a different place from time to time. We spent 10 years in Ecuador. I learned a lot about Canadian culture when I was outside of it, because I was witnessing and part of a different place, a different environment, and I could see what the differences were, and I could reflect on what my culture was like, and that was really helpful. This last week, some of you already know this, some of you will be shocked and appalled. Sit down, fasten your seat belts, hang on. I spent the week in New Orleans, mostly in the French Quarter. Yes, indeed, that's where I was. But Barry and Paula and Debbie were all there to make sure that I didn't get out of hand. But it was really interesting to be, again, in a different environment and see different people and see different things going on. And the environment there is very, very different. They take considerable pride, in fact. People in New Orleans take pride in the fact that they do have a very different culture from anywhere else in the U.S. and, I would add, in Canada, at least that I've been to. The settlement, the French Quarter, is the oldest part of the city, and it was built on the highest ground. It's only about 10 feet above sea level, but it was the highest ground that there was available. It was the least swampy bit. You could at least keep your feet dry part of the year. They do get about 60 inches of rain a year, so it tends to be a bit boggy. And so they built the settlement there, and as people would land in various river-going vessels, at first sailing ships and then later steamships, and they went up onto the levee and looked over the city, the thing that would be most spectacular, that would most catch your eye from really the early days, was the St. Louis Cathedral. Very impressive, three big spires, and you can see it from a vast area. The interesting thing is that if you walk down St. Peter's Street, which goes right beside the cathedral, if you go a couple of blocks, well, actually just one block beyond the back of the church, you come to one of the most famous streets in North America. Bourbon Street. Absolutely. Bourbon Street is only 13 blocks long. You can walk the whole thing end to end in 20 minutes. It will likely take you longer than that because there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. And you have to sort of joggle your way through. There's also a lot to see. And some things that you probably want to avert your eyes from too. But that's all right. We'll save that for another sermon. We'll not go there just now. But as we entered the famous street, Bourbon Street, which, by the way, is not named after an alcoholic beverage. Did you know that? It's named after the Bourbon family of France, the royal family of France at the time. So that's where the Bourbon Street comes from. As we walked on from Esplanade Avenue at one end and walked down, at the beginning, it's all residential. It looks just like homes, and people, you know, are going in and out of their houses, and it was kind of cool. You know, you sneak a peek in and see what their furniture looks like and stuff. Because they're right on the street. I mean, the front door is right on the edge of the sidewalk. And so when they open the door to go in or out, boom, there's their living room, right almost within feet of the sidewalk. It's kind of cool. Different way to live. Not sure I'd really like it, but it seems to work for them. Anyways, you walk down farther, then the restaurants and the bars and the music venues and the voodoo shops and the tourist traps and the sex clubs all start to take over. And by the time you get to the Canal Street at the other end, nobody's living there except at night. And it's very busy at night. A whole different thing. And I was thinking as I was walking along, on that day, that evening actually, and then on other occasions, just as I spent time there, as looking at different people and thinking about them and where are they at spiritually? And by the way, the church is alive and well in New Orleans. Last Sunday, just about exactly 1 week ago from this very moment, we were in a little Baptist church about six blocks from where we were staying on North Rampart Street, although we had been told avoid North Rampart Street after dark. But there's a little Baptist church there, and we went, sang all the same songs we know. It was just like being at home, very comfortable. But I got thinking as I looked at all of these different people hustling and bustling about, I wondered, what are you here for anyway? What are you here for? Well, there are lots of tourists. From the very early days, people went to Bourbon Street to have a look around and see the sights. And there are some sights, I assure you. Very interesting. People go there to buy things. Like I mentioned, tourist traps. Incidentally, it's really interesting to see the kind of things that were available for sale there. One of the popular t-shirts has this slogan on it, "Sin, Repent, Repeat." That's interesting. Very popular during Mardi Gras, apparently. I'm pretty sure that they got the sin part down really well, and they probably do repeat well, but I'm not sure that they understand what repent is. But that's another sermon for another day. Some people go there to make money. There are all kinds of sharks on Bourbon Street and throughout the French Quarter. People doing all kinds of things to get money, from businessmen to buskers. Everybody seems to be walking around with a tip jar. And you see people dressed in curious outfits with a tip jar. And if you look at them and take their picture, then they expect you to drop a couple of bucks in there. People are there to make money. People are there to stimulate their senses, to see the sights, but also to access a variety of substances and experiences that they can't get elsewhere. So that's another motivation that was very evident. For some people, they go to Bourbon Street to numb their senses, not so much stimulate them. I overheard one young woman talking to her friends about the night before on Bourbon Street, and she said, like, "I was blackout drunk." Oh, okay. Did you have a good time then? I guess if that's why you went to Bourbon Street, you'd be happy that you had achieved that. Some people just say, "I just want to enjoy myself. I want to have a good time." Or, "I want to get in touch with the spirit world." There are all kinds of spiritualists and voodoo shops that will offer you all kinds of things to help you manipulate reality. So you can cast spells, you can use charms, you can do all of those kinds of things, and you can get your cards read. I got to tell you this. Right in front of the cathedral, one day, Barry and I were doing that thing that men do. We were waiting for our wives who were shopping. And we observed one tarot card reader, and he wasn't very busy. And time dragged on. You know, it sometimes happens, time drags on when people shop. And we observed that he was not getting any business. And then we went for lunch and we came back and he was still sitting there not doing any business. And I said to Barry, I just made a casual comment. Some of you know Barry, my brother. I said, gee, he seems to be having a slow day. And Barry said,
yeah, I wonder if he knew that when he got up this morning.
You'd think if he knew he was just going to sit there for 2 hours waiting for business, he just would have stayed home. But I guess, I'm not sure his fortune-telling abilities were, you know, that sharp. Seemed to be a little slack. And people are there to celebrate creativity, human creativity and excellence. The very first question that a certain person here, well, it was Greg, okay? Because he's been to New Orleans, and the first thing he said, did you eat any beignets? They're little French donuts. And I said, no. And then he spent 10 minutes haranguing me about why I hadn't eaten beignets, because apparently he ate a lot of beignets. And what do you weigh now, by the way? Yeah. But excellent cuisine, jambalaya, blackened shrimp, ugh, good stuff, you know. Music, fantastic. We went to some music venues and heard wonderful music. Musicians that God has blessed with amazing abilities to play and sing and create terrific things like that. And graphic arts, lots of little galleries and things sprinkled throughout the French Quarter that you can go and see. Amazing art, really fantastic stuff. And street artists. I watched a street artist do 2 or 3 paintings with spray cans, believe it or not. It was brilliant. Wonderful creativity. And you look at these people and you go, wow, this is amazing. You see all these people, all there for different reasons, all there demonstrating different aspects of their personalities. And you think, all of those people were created by God. They're all loved by God. And they're all here for a reason, which may or may not include God, mostly not include God. But then, before we get too hoity-toity about this, we could ask ourselves why we're here this morning. Because just as the people were there on Bourbon Street last Wednesday night when we were walking along, you're here this morning. So why are you here this morning? What's your reason? You know, for some of you, it could be that your world is shrinking. And maybe this is the big social highlight of the week. And you're looking forward to one more this week. You're going to get to go to jail this week. But other than going to jail on Thursday, is it? See, I was paying attention. You know, you come here because this is a great thing. You're bored otherwise. You've got a little social outlet. Some of us may be here because, well, this is what we do on Sunday morning. We always do this. What else would I be doing? I always do this. Or maybe you believe that, well, you know, a little religion's good for people, so I'll go and get myself a little religion, and that'll be good. Or maybe you might be thinking, if I go to church on Sunday, maybe God will go easy on me. You know, things haven't been so good lately. I've been kind of down on my luck. And my body's starting to give out. My knees just don't do the things my knees used to do. Or at least when they do it, it hurts like the dickens. So maybe God will go easy on me if I kind of give him a tip of the hat on Sunday morning. Or maybe it's an opportunity to meet friends. I remember many years ago, and the stuff like this will probably come up at the anniversary service, by the way. I used to sit, there was a whole big row of young people. Now it's old people back there, but back then it was young people. Used to sit over there. Sorry, Andrew. Now, you're not as young as I was when I was sitting back there. Like, I was about 11 years old, 12 years old. Our parents, with great reluctance, let us go sit there in a mob together. I guess they figured if we were over there, we weren't in the parking lot doing bad things, so that was good. But where was I going with that? Man alive. Strange things happen. But back in those days, when I was a little tacker here, I remember looking around at people and wondering about them and what they were like and would I be like them, and not possibly imagining that I could ever be like those people who are up here. You know, I want you to know, I never aspired to be in this place. What do you aspire to this morning? What's your big goal? What's your dream? Have you reached it? You still just waiting for something to happen? Good questions. We need to reflect. But it was a place. This was a place, and this was a time when I could meet my friends. Back in those days, maybe you're here to meet your friends. Not a bad thing to meet your friends here. That's great. Maybe you're here because you need your faith strengthened, and you think that by being here and listening and learning, your faith will be strengthened. Or maybe you're here because you need to hear from God. You're at a crossroads in your life. You don't quite know where you're going from here. And you just want to be with some other believers and think about God's word, reflect on him, get some advice, and get some direction for your life. You want to hear from God. That's good. Now, here's one thing that I can say with great assurance. Regardless of your motivation for being here this morning, you are here. And God wants to meet you here this morning. That might have been the farthest thing from your mind. Maybe you're only here to please somebody else. Maybe you're here because of social pressure. Maybe your motive isn't particularly good, but you're here, and that's great, because God wants to meet with you here today. He wants to connect with you. So we've asked ourselves, why would people go to Bourbon Street? We've thought about why people would be there. We thought about why we're here this morning. But what about the big why we're here? The big one. Why do you exist? What's that all about? Why are you even a person who's thinking about where you would be on Sunday morning, whether it would be here or somewhere else? And when we think about those big existential questions about why we're here, why we exist, we have to start reflecting. And that's what I want to do with you this morning. Reflect about some of these things. We need to reflect on ourselves, because we're the ones who are here. Regardless of why you believe you're here, you are the one that's here. You reflect on reality. What is the big picture? What is the meaning of not just my life? What's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of the universe? What's the significance of all of this? And then you have to think about, well, how do I fit into that big picture? How is it that little old me am part of this vast reality that includes the people sitting around me, people in the streets outside, people across the country, across the continent, around the world? How do I connect with that? So when we live our lives out, we do so basically under three general options, three possibilities. The first thing, the Bible talks about, uses a phrase, it talks about living or walking by sight. So maybe this morning you're a sight person. Now, walking by sight, that's a good thing, okay? In your everyday life, you need to depend on your senses. And that's what walking by sight is all about, or living by sight. It's about what you can perceive through your senses and the sense that you make of that with your intellect. You've got to put all that together somehow. So when you're dicing carrots in the kitchen, you want to do that by sight. That's not a good time to close your eyes and go, I wonder if I can do this with my eyes closed. Not a good option. Crossing the street, really handy to do that by sight. And keep your ears open too. And when the Bible talks about walking by sight, it's about all of our senses. It's not just vision. Walking by sight's good. Except that it's got some limitations. You see, too often, basically walking by sight means we look around, we see what's working for us at the moment, spiritually, beyond the physical. We we look and we'll see what seems to be working for us at the moment. Maybe we'll look at a few other individuals that we kind of admire, and we see what seems to be working for them, and we kind of make some guiding principles out of that. But we're limited when we do that, because what we can perceive with our senses and figure out with our intellects is sharply limited to the here and now. Because you can't receive through your senses. You can't figure out with that data anything beyond this life. And people in every culture, even the most primitive culture, down through the years, have always had a sense that there's something beyond this life. There is more. There is something to follow. In fact, it's only been in the last 100, 200 years at the most that some people have been challenging that, have dared to challenge that and think, well, maybe we're just all animals and we basically just die like an animal does and we return to the dust and we're done. But that generally is not the prevailing view. The prevailing view is that there's more. And when we walk by sight, when we live by only what our senses can receive, we can't know anything about that. The other thing that's a challenge about doing things by sight, living by sight, going by what just seems like a good idea from what you're able to observe in your own life and the life of others, is that what makes you think that your perceptions are trustworthy? Why do you trust your perceptions? Why are your perceptions so much better than anybody else's perceptions? Because you know you don't trust other people's perceptions. We live in a world of a bunch of wackos. Have you noticed that? They don't get it. And it doesn't matter. You know, when I was one of the young people sitting back there, the old people didn't get it. They just didn't get it. Anybody you relate to this at all? Those old people didn't get it. Now that I've achieved this exalted state where people will tell me, man, your hair has really gotten gray in the last 6 months. Now, there's a whole new generation that doesn't get it. But they're back there. It's amazing, because I'm always right. And you know? But why would I assume that? Why should I assume that? Why should you assume that? Why would you assume that your perceptions are better than anybody else's perceptions? And that's one of the weaknesses of walking by sight, living according to what we're able to perceive with our senses. You know, the Bible makes a contrast. It talks about living by sight, but it says that Christians, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that Christians walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, they still use their senses to cross the road and cook their meals and drive their cars and do those kinds of things. But when it comes to the spiritual things, we walk by faith. We believe something. And we sang lots of songs about faith this morning. And we think about faith when we come to church, because you must believe something about being here. It must have some kind of significance, or presumably you wouldn't be here. You understand that there is something beyond just what the senses can tell us. So that's some people live by sight. Now there's another group of people who live by law. And when the Bible talks about living by the law, it's talking specifically about the Mosaic law, the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments and a whole lot of other commandments that were added to that. About 613 in total. And they were living by that law. Unless you're an observant Jew visiting us this morning, you probably don't even think much about the Mosaic law and if you're keeping it. And in fact, I could just about guarantee you that every one of us has broken several Old Testament laws already this morning. And you are church! So we don't sweat the Mosaic law too much. But is that the only law? Or could there be other laws? I think there are other laws. There are cultural laws. cultural standards that just somehow evolve, and they become, for the moment, what's absolutely necessary. And we think that if we keep those cultural standards, we're doing okay. And then all of us have personal standards as well. Probably the chief among personal standards is fitness. You know, there's some fitness crazy people out there. Who giggled? And, you know, we're well into the new year now. We can hardly call it a new year. It's kind of getting old and moldy. Have you noticed that? 2015 is like old news. We need a new year. We need to start over. Anybody else want to start over? I'd be glad to trade in the winter of 2015 for something new. Yeah. Gets old. But when we talk about law, let's think about some of these cultural things. This sense that there's a higher good that I should attain to. So we'll set aside the personal resolutions for a moment, and the fact that we're already in the middle of May and you've already broken all the resolutions that you intended to keep. Well, just think about the big cultural ones. What are the big cultural resolutions, as it were, or big cultural rules of the higher good? You all seem very polite. You've come to sit quietly and listen. So since you're programmed for that, I'll tell you the answer. Tolerance is a big one. Tolerance is big. And it's not the old-fashioned tolerance of barely putting up with people. But tolerance in the sense of, it's a little broader now. It's the idea of, well, that all ideas and all religions and all people are all equal, which we are patently, and they are patently, not all equal. We're not all the same. We're, as people, we're of equal values, but not all ideas are of equal value. And not all religions are the same. And it's amusing to me when people try to say that, well, all religion is the same. It involves faith, but that's only one aspect of religion. And if you take a close look, actually the religions of the world are quite diverse. They're quite different. They make different claims about truth, and they make different claims on people. Another very common cultural value is anything is okay as long as you don't get hurt. And wow, when you walk down Bourbon Street, you see this big time. Everybody is an individual doing what pleases them. And as long as no one else gets hurt, it just rolls on merrily and it's this huge party. But a lot of people live their lives by that kind of little rule, little personal rule, that I can do anything as long as nobody else gets hurt. But there's some challenges with all of this. The fact is that all of these ideas, these cultural standards, are susceptible to change. They change from time to time. They change from place to place. Things that are definitely not okay at one time or in one place are fine in another time and place. I was surprised, all four of us were surprised, as we were walking around in broad daylight. This isn't furtive sneaking around at night, you know. People in the French Quarter of New Orleans walk around with beer in their hands. And I actually took a picture. I should have brought it. The big sign, cocktails to go. You know, you walk up to the window, buy your hurricane, and walk down the street. Don't get drunk and hit somebody. You get in trouble. But, you know, that's okay there. But try that in Peterborough. Woo-hoo. But don't try it in Peterborough. What am I thinking? Don't try that in Peterborough, okay? So cultural norms are very shifty. They're hard to pin down. And we can't... We can't depend on them because they keep moving. It's like nailing jello to the wall, that kind of a thing. The other thing is that often these ideas are in opposition. That's why we have political parties. Because some people think this is the answer, and other people think this is the answer. And so we've got the Conservatives and the NDP and the Liberal right here. Ooh, that bombed, didn't it? Okay, apparently not. Apparently you're just all something else. Good for you. But there are different political ways of thinking about how the rules should work and what the rules will do in a culture. You have different factions, different interest groups. You got youth culture and senior culture and the Middle Ages. All different. And they have different priorities. And so you've got these cultural things. You may be keeping the rules for your little subculture, but they'll be in conflict with somebody else's rules over here in another culture, another subculture. So we can't depend on keeping the law. So whether it's the Mosaic law or even cultural norms or your own personal values, we all blow those things up all the time. We fall short. We miss those. And particularly, we fall short of God's law. And according to Romans chapter 3, particularly verse 28, but there's a whole big long section that we won't take time to read, but verse 28 says that Christians hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So you could be the most open-minded, tolerant, unhurtful person around, and you're not gonna attain that level. There will be people who will be upset at you for what you think and the way you act. And whether we're talking about God's law or cultural laws or your own standards, we blow those things. And then the third option is God's option. And that's living by faith. God calls us to set aside our own agenda and live according to his design for humanity. Did you know that God has a design for humanity? He has intentions for us in life. A lot of us would like to just push that off, and we come to church to secure our passage to a lovely eternity. But we don't want God to meddle with our lives. But the fact is that God, he wants to change our life now, not just in some distant, vague, unforeseen future. He wants to change your life now. And just like we have to walk by sight in some ways as we live our lives in the physical world, and we live by law in other senses, so we also need this aspect of living by faith spiritually. And it's going to impact the other two things. Going to change the way that we live and the way we relate to each other. God requires us to put him first, to love him most. Now that may seem a trifle egotistical. And he also requires us to put others ahead of ourselves, to love others more than we love ourselves. So God's standard, if we live by faith, we put God first, and we put others ahead of ourselves, and we take the humble place, we take the lower place, and we live by God's standards, and we live for the benefit of other people. Now, just like the other two, walking by faith, or walking by sight, rather, and living by the law, have challenges, have problems, this has a challenge too, and that is this, that this is not the inclination of most of us. We're not just personally inclined to put God first. We're not personally inclined to put others ahead of ourselves. We want to be selfish. We like to be selfish. And as we reflect on it this morning, you think about your own life and the decisions that you make. They're often selfish. It's about you meeting your needs. It's about you pleasing yourself. And God is kind of not in the picture much. And even other people don't count for a whole lot. Because if you ain't happy, you know who else ain't happy? Nobody. So we say that nasty little thing, you know, mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, it's true for all of us. Because when we're not happy, we just like to make everybody else miserable. Makes us feel better somehow. Weird that. But God calls us to set aside our own agenda and live an entirely new life. A new life, an eternal life that starts right now. Not just at some unspecified time in the future. Romans 1:17 quotes the Old Testament, actually, when it says, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Faith has to be part of the equation. God says, you want to live a successful life, you want to live a lasting life, you want to live an eternal life, you want to live an abundant life, you want to live spiritually, be spiritually alive, then you need to live by faith. Not just by sight, not just by what you can see in the material world, not just by rules, whether they're even God's rules from the Old Testament or cultural rules or your own standards, not living by law. We need to live by faith, by the revelation that God has given to us. In Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote this. This was his personal testimony. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the reason that God can be so demanding and require us to live by faith if we want to have a relationship with him is because he has already, in a sense, put us first. He asks us to put him first, but that's because he already put us first. We love, says John, because he first loved us. So what we are called to do is simply to respond. Have you ever had a situation where you go way out on a limb in a relationship and the other person doesn't respond? That's hurtful. It's upsetting. Some would say it's unjust, it's unfair. God loved us first. He took the first step of reaching out to us. Not just the people on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, but the people here in Edmiston Heights Bible Chapel this morning. God reaches out to us first in love. Deals with the problem of the fact that we have broken his law. And puts the offense on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, his own son. And that's what this has been all about, isn't it? God calls us this morning to have faith in him. Reflect on that for a minute. What does that mean for you? Faith isn't just about securing a pleasant eternity. It's about a way of living now. I like to ask people this question by way of reflection. Why would you have any hope of a pleasant eternity, put it that way, if your life isn't changed now? What reasonable expectation would you have if everything is the same now? That's a question to think about. Reflect on that. New life. The life of faith. A new way of walking, a new way of living comes Through accepting what Jesus did on the cross for us as the payment for our sin, which allows us to have a relationship with God. Have you done that? Have you done it maybe so long ago that you kind of are used to the idea and you don't let it affect you anymore? Think about that for a minute. Maybe you've never done it at all. Maybe you've never even thought about these things before. Well, this is a good time to start thinking about them. John wrote this. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life that you offer us, a life of faith, a life that's not limited to what we can perceive with our senses, a life that's not built on an old law which has been set aside or changing social values or even our own personal standards, but a life that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as Paul said, the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God. This is a life we live now. It's not just for the future. We open our hearts to you. We open our minds. We pray that you would indeed speak to us. In Jesus' name.